Anybody feel like you are chained to this virus, coronavirus, and you can't get away from it because it is with you 24/7? Anybody out there feeling like you are living under house arrest? How are we going to deal with this time? Well, as I have been telling you throughout the book of Acts, if you follow the example of the Apostle Paul, you're going to be okay. We have seen how we can do that in many ways as we have surveyed this book over the last several weeks, and we'll look one more time today at the example of the Apostle Paul. The last word in the original Greek text of the book of Acts is the word unhindered. Now, it doesn't come across in all of our translations of the Bible. It does in some. But Luke saved the very last word of this book and made it a special word, and the word in the Greek is unhindered. Now, we know as we've read this book that Paul has been hated and hunted. Paul has been harassed. Paul has even been physically hurt. Paul has been held against his will and unfairly and unjustly. Paul was hated and hunted, harassed, held, hurt. But one thing that Paul was not was hindered. During Paul's period of house arrest, he was unhindered. He could do the things that really mattered. No person, no predicament could stop Paul from doing the things that really mattered in life. And I want you to know, if you're a believer in Christ, that you, like Paul, can be unhindered during this time of global pandemic. Are you going to be unhinged like much of the world, or are you going to be unhindered during this time? Well, again, let's follow the example of Paul here, and let me mention four ways in which Paul was unhindered as the book of Acts comes to a close, and how you can be unhindered if you'll follow the example of his attitude and his actions. Number one, there was unhindered waiting. For Paul, there was, and for us, there can be, unhindered waiting. If you're in the text, look at the first part of verse 30. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in Rome in his own rented house. Don't let that 2 years go right by you. Now, you know that Paul, as we've said many times, had been arrested on trumped-up charges. He had been held unjustly and unfairly. And as a Roman citizen, it was his right to appeal his case to Rome and to the leader of the Roman Empire, Caesar. And that's what Paul had done. Now, Paul had been held 2 years in prison before he was even able to leave for Rome. Finally, he left, and then the ship that he was on ran into the shipwreck, the storm and the shipwreck, and he was delayed on Malta for another several months. And now Paul has finally made it to Rome, but he has made it as a prisoner. And according to verse 30, he has waited 2 years, and he still hasn't appealed to Caesar and had that case heard. What's taking so long? We don't know. It could have been that those who had pressed charges against Paul had not sent those charges to Rome yet, and Rome didn't know exactly, Caesar didn't know exactly what the charges were. Or it could have been that the court docket was just this far behind. But for whatever reason, Paul had made it to Rome and had waited 2 years and was still waiting for his day in court before Caesar. And if Paul was frustrated, or if Paul was angry, or if Paul doubted God because of this wait and this delay, we never see it in Scripture. Paul had been promised by God that he would have his day in court before Caesar. He had not been told when. And so Paul just left the timing up to God, knew that it was going to happen, and waited on God in a positive way. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in a bulletin article that one of my favorite phrases in Scripture is, "And it came to pass." That phrase is found 396 times in the Bible. Nearly 400 times God says to his people, "It came to pass." And I love to remind myself, especially when hard times come, this came not to stay. This came to pass. And folks, you aren't hearing it in the media right now. You're not reading it in the papers or on the internet. You're not hearing it on the evening news. But this period of quarantine, this period of social distancing, this period of safe at home will pass. The one thing we don't know is how long it will take or when it will happen. So as we wait, let's wait in a positive manner like Paul did. And let's find positive, godly ways to spend our time. And I'm going to mention a couple of those in these next few moments. First of all, for Paul and for us, unhindered waiting. Number two, for Paul there was and for us there can be unhindered writing. Now, while Paul waited under house arrest in Rome, he made good use of his time. And one of the ways he did that is he wrote. Paul was penned up, so he picked his pen up and he wrote. And we believe that during this period of house arrest over these 2 years, Paul wrote the epistles that we know as prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. What an encouragement those letters were to their original audience. And what an encouragement they are to this day. And they happened, they exist, because Paul was unhindered in his waiting on God. He knew the power of the pen. And so he picked up his pen and he wrote encouraging, enlightening messages in the form of these letters. We have Ephesians, a wonderful, beautiful discussion of Christ and his church. We have Philippians, which is basically a love letter to Paul, to one of his favorite congregations. We have Colossians, where Paul dealt with the false teaching that had started around Colossae. We have Philemon, which was kind of a personal letter to a Christian friend about healing a relationship that had been broken. We have all of these letters that we can enjoy because of Paul's unhindered writing during his house arrest. May I encourage you to pick up the pen during this time? May I tell you that writing can be a powerful, powerful instrument in keeping you mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually well during this time? The Apostle Paul tells us something interesting in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He gives us a list of good things, and then he says, "Think about these things." And what's interesting is in the original Greek language, the word "think" on these things, or that phrase, is really more powerful. And what it literally says in the Greek is keep a record of these things. Keeping a record of something sounds like writing it down, doesn't it? What if during this period of isolation and quarantine, you could pick up your pen and you wrote down good things? You wrote about them. Here are good things that have happened to me in my past. Let me write about those so that I can live them again and experience them again. Here are some good things that happened to me this very day. Just simple things, but they were good and I enjoyed them. Let me write about that. What was it like to have that happen? What did it feel like? And on and on. And by writing, we can help ourselves tremendously on an emotional level. You might also want to pick up a pen and a paper and pull out a card and write a letter to someone, a handwritten, good old-fashioned letter, and send it to them. I get those occasionally, cards and letters from the family here at Fairfield, and they always seem to come when I need them, and they always seem to say exactly what I need to hear at that time. Maybe you could do that for someone, blessing them with your writing the way Paul blessed others with his. Number three, how can we be unhindered during this time? Unhindered welcoming. Paul experienced, and we can too, unhindered welcoming during his period of house arrest. If you'll notice, Acts 28, the last part of verse 30, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He welcomed them. Now, Paul was, as we said, not in a prison, not in a prison cell, but he was in a house, an apartment maybe, that he was renting. How was he paying for it? We don't know exactly. It's possible that Paul was able to work and use his skill as a tent maker during the day to earn a living so that he could rent this apartment. It's also possible that the rent was being paid by Christians who were caring for him. We know, for example, that the congregation at Philippi sent a financial gift to Paul during this time. It was brought by one of the ministers in Philippi, Epaphroditus, and handed over to Paul. So maybe by the support of the church, Paul could rent this apartment, but whatever way he was able to do it. And while Paul was in this rented apartment, he was under house arrest. He was not able to go and see other people, but other people were able to come into his home and see him. Apparently, a lot of people did. And when they came, he welcomed them. He was hospitable to them. He was friendly to them. He was encouraging to them. You know, if you think about it, though we are quarantined right now and we're safe at home right now, because of technology, there are many ways that we can bring people right into our home. We can welcome them. We can pick up the phone and we can call someone or we can text someone. We have technology now where we can even look at the face of our friend or our loved one while we are talking to them through FaceTime. There's even technology that enables us to have a meeting where a lot of people come together and we can all talk and listen and even see one another, something like Zoom. We have that available to us as well. So if you think about it, if you've got to be in quarantine, this is a pretty good time to be there because we can, even though we are separated physically, welcome people into our home. And as a Fairfield family, let's be doing that. Let's be checking on people in all of these different ways, staying close to them, staying connected to them, seeing if they have a need that we can help to meet. There's unhindered waiting. There's unhindered writing. There's unhindered welcoming. And finally, there's unhindered witnessing. Verse 31, Paul preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ boldly and unhindered. While we are going through this period of isolation, let's do what Paul did. Let's talk about the kingdom of God, and let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as people are discouraged right now by living in this world, let's tell them there's a better world. And as people are discouraged about living in this nation, let's tell them that they can move into a better kingdom. And as they complain about the leadership of our nation, let's tell them that in this better kingdom, there's better leadership. There is a king who is perfect, who's leading that kingdom. And let's tell them that though things look bleak in our nation and in our world right now, that things are peaceful and wonderful in the kingdom of God. And though we wonder about our future here in this world, that the kingdom of God has a future that is certain and it is wonderful. Let's use this time to be telling people about how God is helping us through this difficulty. If you're a person who's on social media, use social media to spread messages of faith and hope and love during this time. Let's be involved, as Paul was, in unhindered witnessing during our period of house arrest. Are you going to be unhinged or unhindered? It's really up to you. You follow the example of panic and fear of the world, and you're liable to come unhinged. But if you follow the example of Paul, if you adopt the attitude and the actions of God's great messenger and great man, then even during this period of restriction, you can be, in the ways that truly matter, unhindered. I want to close our message this morning by turning back a few pages in the book of Acts and noticing what Peter said at the end of his sermon in Acts chapter 2. Peter had given a message of hope to people, and here's how he concluded that message. This is a familiar verse to many of you, verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you would like to follow Peter's ancient teaching that still applies to today, then we want you to know that the invitation is still open for you to do that. Now, there's no one here to come down an aisle, but what we do have is a telephone system. And so we invite you, if you are interested in becoming a Christian, in becoming a baptized believer, in having these same blessings in your life that Paul had in his, we invite you to call our church office, and we would love to help you and assist you in your becoming a Christian. As we close our time together, I would like to bow in prayer, and then we will begin our period of the Lord's Supper. Would you bow, please, wherever you are? If you'll bow your head and close your eyes, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we can sympathize with Paul, who was waiting and wondering about the present and about the future, who was restricted in his ability to move and to go and to do, who had to feel a sense of isolation and loneliness as he was confined to that home and guarded by that prison guard. But Father, though his body was confined, we know that because of you, his spirit was free. We know that he had the power to choose a positive attitude. We know that he had the power which you gave him to find positive things to do during his period of isolation. And those things that he did ended up blessing him surely, but even more blessing so many others, even down to this very day. Father, bless us as we face this unusual, unprecedented time in our world. We do pray to you that this virus will be stopped in its tracks. We pray that you'll drive it from this earth. We pray that you will protect those who have the disease and that you'll cure them. You'll spare their lives. We pray that you'll prevent this virus from being transmitted to other people so there'll be no new patients. Father, we pray that you'll begin this process even now in the name of Jesus. Father, bless everyone who's at home hearing these messages or wherever they are. And we pray that you will help them to live an unhindered life now and forever. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.